matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
The proud defender of the American dream, Rick Smith.
Since a prehistoric ages, in the days of ancient Greece, walked down to the Middle Ages, planet Earth kept going through changes.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Have a great but reflective President's Day. That was the command I woke up to this morning, and while I had a good day, didn't have a great one. And while I had a good day, I did spend a lot of time reflecting on this administration, reflecting on, well, just how bad they have been. And also, you know, trying to figure out the question, you know, that Trump keeps throwing out there. You know, why didn't Obama do more? Not that he can do anything, not that he's going to do anything, not that he even admits anything happened. Just why couldn't that other guy do something? And here to help us work through some of that, I've asked our good friend Propane Jane back on the program. Jane, thanks for taking time for us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me back.
So did you have a great reflective President's Day?
I guess. I mean, I didn't reflect at all on how great of a president Trump is, if that's what he wanted us to be doing. I don't know what he wanted us to reflect on. Did he want us to reflect on president's past and how far we've fallen? Did he want us to reflect on, you know, how terrible of a job he's doing, how low his approval rating is, the Mueller indictment? I mean, we could just keep going on and on. I don't think he really wants us reflecting on his alleged presidency.
Or all his dalliances with porn stars and playmates and all
right.
that stuff.
Right, I mean,
either.
This is a day that we don't want to think about that at all.
Did you see the New York Times survey, you know, of the worst presidents?
No, I didn't see it.
Not surprisingly, Donald Trump is the worst overall, which, you know, I got to be honest, as much as like Trump, I just don't know that he's worse than Buchanan or Hoover. But, you know, at this point, you know, okay, I'll buy into it.
People have short memories. I mean, in recent times, no one can fathom. And maybe we haven't had as much exposure to the inner workings of a president's mind. I mean, I guess this is sort of an experiment. I mean, seeing him in real time just put all of his thoughts on Twitter. I mean, there's a level of intimacy there that I don't think any of us are, you know, were expecting to.
Oh no, I expected
have.
It. No, I expected him just to be every bit as crazy as he's been with the Twitter and the tweeting and the dysfunction and the chaos.
I think that I expected that there would be someone around to sort of say, hey,
yep,
this looks so bad for you, and this is actually not helping you in any way, and that there was maybe just a shred of self-preservation there still for him, that he would go, okay, maybe I am overexposed in that way.
Yeah, I would have thought that Ivanka would have been able to come in like a good little nursemaid and, you know, kind of direct him and tap him down a little bit. She just hasn't been able to do any of that.
Nobody has. John Kelly hasn't. I mean, you know, it's just this is what we have. You
right.
know,
in fact,
there's no going back.
Yeah, when Kelly, you know, took the gig, one of the first questions I asked is, you know, does Kelly straighten him out, or does Trump corrupt him? And it just looks like Trump has corrupted him.
Oh, of course. He's going to corrupt everyone that's around him, because how else do you function in that environment? You sort of have to basically comport with whatever feels right for him, and it's an inevitable hostage negotiation no matter how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. So what about it? Why didn't Obama do more? I mean, you know, that's the defense. His defense first was, there's nothing here. It's all a hoax. Nothing existed. There's nothing to see. Move along. And now it's the defense of, it's all Obama and the FBI. It couldn't possibly be me. It's them. What do you think of that?
I think that this is again Trump trying to deflect blame. I mean, again, just like a week ago, he was going, there was no Russian collusion whatsoever. And so for him to actually jump all the way to, okay, there was Russian collusion, and actually it's Obama's fault because he didn't do anything to stop it, already sort of just proves how much BS, you know, he was saying prior to now taking this new position. And I think that, you know, when you think about, like, McMaster and some of these really, you know, big-name people, Tillerson within his administration, the fact that they have been coming out in full force in recent weeks to say, hey, yes, Russia meddled in our election, and yes, they're planning to do it again in 2018, and it's sort of leaving the ball in his court to actually do something about it. But at the same time, you know, he's up against the wall. I mean, this is somebody who is not enforcing the sanctions against Russia, and has really not taken any steps to address the meddling in the election because he's compromised. And so what else can he do in this situation besides blame Obama? I'm actually surprised he didn't somehow blame Hillary, which would have been, you know, pretty cute. Considering that she literally called him out on the debate stage to his face,
right,
and laid out every single thing that he was doing. And so when he talks about why didn't anybody do anything, you know, I distinctly remember President Obama talking about this. I distinctly remember Hillary Clinton bringing this up in the debate. And, you know, it's problematic because what the media chose to do with that information when it was given to them was basically to double down on emails and sort of, you know, propagating the same Russian propaganda, actually. And so they weren't, you know, they weren't able to get the public and Congress mobilized to actually meet the threat, especially not in the middle of a campaign season where, you know, everything was going to be politically charged, in particular as it pertained to the candidates and their campaigns. And can you just imagine, had Obama said, you know, legitimately, when you think about the Comey letter, had he said, hey, you know, we're investigating this. This is something that may be going on between the Trump campaign and Russia. That would have been a you-know-what storm.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the right wing would have lost their mind.
Oh, easily. I mean, it wouldn't have been, it would have been all over. I mean, this would have been another Benghazi. And so I think, again, this just proves how he is between a rock and a hard place. And he really doesn't have a legitimate defense at this point.
No, I mean, there is, he's beyond defense, but, you know, he's going to continue to, you know, to distract and delay and all of that, which is why, again, I think he went, the reason he went after Oprah again. And I'm like, you know, really, you're going to go after Oprah, you know, someone who's richer than you are? And a woman, I mean, so there's part of me that looks at this, that, you know, there's a whole bunch of insecurity here. That you've got this black woman who's richer than he is, uh-huh, that seems sane and rational. Let's attack her.
Well, yeah, and she's also somebody who, you know, is being discussed as a potential contender for 2020, even though, you know, she's saying she doesn't want to run, and I don't think she actually will run for president. But I think that he feels intimidated by the mere suggestion that she should. And that, you know, she would be somebody who could be, you know, go against him toe to toe, given the fact that she is also sort of an outsider, you know, someone who is a business person and has done well in business, who is a TV personality, so to speak, and who is a celebrity. It sort of turns the whole, you know, idea of the mystique of Trump on its head. And so I think in that way, you know, that really is intimidating to him. But I think at the same time, what was actually, you know, again, he's always projecting. And so I think him calling her insecure was really a reflection of him feeling very insecure about not only her being someone who could potentially run against him, but also the fact that in that setting, I mean, she was sitting down with voters and basically discussing, you know, his presidency to this point, and how do these voters feel about the choices they made then versus, you know, what's going on right now. And I think that there may have been things that came out in that interview from the voters themselves and her probing of those voters that was unflattering to him, and that's not something that he wants to contend with.
No, I mean, you know, anybody who's ever done anything that the media reports on, You know, I remember, you know, when I played baseball, you know, you'd see writing things in the newspaper. The first thing that they always tell you is never read the clippings,
mm-hmm.
and never read the comments. Never, ever, ever. And, you know, you would think someone would tell him, someone who is very thin-skinned to begin with, don't read the comments. Don't even look at it, because it's only going to make you crazy. And it's obviously made him absolutely crazy.
Oh, for sure. And this is why I always, you know, this is why I always focus so much on his daily activities. You know, what is he doing with his time? How is he, you know, focusing his mental energy? What is he spending it on? And what he is spending it on is cable news and Twitter. I mean, he wants to know what people think about him. And again, you know, when we talk about personality disorders and, you know, there's sort of this, you know, kind of confusion people have, and they don't necessarily understand that personalities most certainly are a form of mental illness, and that they can cause significant impairment in functioning. Because when you take, for instance, somebody who's a narcissist, and that person is so obsessed with their image and what people think about him, that basically they can't actually get their work done because they have to turn on the news and they have to see, well, how are they reporting this story? And what is the take on me in this particular situation? And no matter what's piling up at his door in terms of work, in terms of the actual work of presidency that he's supposed to be doing, he actually cannot move forward in his day unless he gets that feedback, that positive feedback. This is why they're giving him that propaganda document that basically, you know, culls together all of the, you know, the most positive headlines they could find from the right-wing media. You know, they're doing this because he literally can't function. And, you know, I work a lot with patients who have addiction. And when you start thinking about someone who's addicted to heroin or someone who's addicted to cocaine and how it becomes such a function of their life, you know, we say very much the same thing that we're sort of presuming people need to be saying to him about his cell phone and his Twitter account, that, hey, you know, yes, I know you, it feels good to you to get high one more time and to get that feedback. But ultimately, this is turning out to be a very bad thing for you. And so no one is able to tell him, you know, to put the phone down or to stop watching cable news, because for him, he literally just, like, he can't even put one foot in front of the other unless he gets some type of, you know, feedback to his narcissistic supply.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I get pitches from all kinds of different PR people, you know, pitching one book or another. And a couple of weeks ago, I remember a psychologist was pitching a book where they were talking about the dangerous effects of NOMO,
mm-hmm.
which is, I found out, was no mobile phones. The fear of not having your phone, mm-hmm. and the actual withdrawal kind of symptoms that people have, just like heroin or anything, alcohol or anything else, from just mm-hmm. not having their phone. And I'm going, is this where we've gone as a country?
Yeah, I mean, it's most certainly something that affects everyday Americans. But then when you think about a role as high profile as the presidency, right? I mean, when you think about, you know, how many people are looking to you to make the right decision or say the right thing. And for somebody like Trump, who is very thin-skinned and is very self-conscious about, you know, how he's perceived by others, being president, even though it's something that he may have aspired to do because he's sort of thinking of it as like, okay, like in dictator mind, right? Like that everybody loves him and he's so great and there's all these parades and just, you know, everybody's satisfied with the job he's doing and he's making America great again. Like in his fantasy of how that's working, there is positive praise and there, you know, there isn't any bad news. And if there is bad news, it must be fake news. I mean, everything he's saying, you know, yes, to us it sounds very pathological, but for him, that's literally, you know, what he's having to do to just make himself feel good about himself every day.
No, no, you're absolutely right. And I got to be honest with you, as a nation looking to him for the right words in times of crisis. We're in serious need. And I look at, you have to know more than look this weekend. Last week we had this horrible shooting in Florida. This week he goes around taking pictures. Did you see the pictures of him
with the
big thumbs up and the giant cheesy smile?
What does the thumbs up mean?
I have no idea. And I remember looking at that going, this is our president. This is not the image that I want out there. In fact, I think I showed my wife and kids. I'm going, do you believe this? This is nuts.
I mean, it was so, I think, transparent, right? I mean, because if he sort of, I mean, this is obviously a stereotypical thing that he does with the thumbs up. I mean, there's obviously tons of pictures floating around the internet of him doing his characteristic thumbs up. But the fact that he didn't understand that wasn't a PR moment for him, that his role, I mean, you know, we used to sort of, again, you know, thinking about President's Day, I mean, Barack Obama very much earned the moniker Consoler-in-Chief. When you think about all of the funerals that he spoke at, all of the eulogies he gave for people who lost their lives in these gun massacres, that was a moment where he was actually going to console people and to try to make people feel better in that moment and to try to make sense of that moment and to turn that moment into some form of positive action.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine this guy giving that kind of speech?
Oh, of course not. Of course not. And I'm glad that's not even something that they have even attempted thus far to try to have him do, because it would fail miserably.
I'm really sorry this all happened, but we're going to make America great. Aren't I wonderful? Did you see the size of my crowd?
I mean, you couldn't even deliver a speech to the Boy Scouts of America, right, without dipping into this mayhem of his mind. But I do think, there's also the juxtaposition of the fact that this massacre just happened and, you know, he was also partying it up at Mar-a-Lago.
Yep.
And during that weekend in the state of Florida, took that time to actually tweet about Oprah, and to still not be focused at all on this massive tragedy that's happened. And I've seen so many high school kids actually tweeting him like, Mr. President, this is your moment. We're actually just children and we're speaking about this more than you are. We're actually trying to put forth solutions more than you are.
Yeah, did you see the story in The Hill that Trump was in Mar-a-Lago basically polling the drunken members of the club on what he should do?
Yes.
I'm going, really? My first thought was, this is exactly what conservatives want when they talk about original intent.
Mm-hmm.
This is how they think policy should be made, in secret back rooms with drunken rich people. And the rest of us be damned. This is the Scalia, this is the far right wing original intent mentality working out right in front of us.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, just has to be completely ignorant of the facts on the ground and, like, what is actually happening. You know, as a psychiatrist, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves is that, you know, we talk about gun violence obviously sort of in spurts when these gun massacres occur. But, you know, if you think about it, I mean, like, suicide is a major cause of death in this country. I mean, tens of thousands of people are killing themselves with guns every year in this country. And that's sort of, you know, for the pro-life crowd, that's like a statistic that somehow they can sort of, like, easily just erase.
Yeah, but then they're going to throw it back at you. Since, you know, Democrats are pro, Roe versus Wade. Well, you're killing babies, so it evens itself out.
Well, but now that's an interesting paradox, right? Because babies are being killed live, basically on television at this point, right? I mean, they're not infants, but they're somebody's baby. These are live children that are trying to go to school every day. And we have people who are voting for people that are, you know, taking money from the NRA to keep guns in people's hands that shouldn't have them. And more of our, you know, living, breathing children are dying every day because of it.
Right.
Again, those people are very serious about saving embryos. I understand that.
Pro-birth.
But those embryos are not living, breathing, you know, in terms of a triage, in terms of when you think about, like, you know, I think in terms of emergency rooms, when you're thinking in terms of crises and what's coming through your, you know, ER, somebody who has, you know, congestion and a cough, you're not going to deal with that before you deal with, you know, the person whose leg just got cut off. And what's in front of us in terms of immediate threat to public safety is these guns and the gun massacres that are happening literally, you know, almost every week at this point.
Yeah. You're from the gun state, because as I understand, Texas has the most guns of any state, obviously, per capita in the country. What do you do with this? I mean, you know, did the assault weapons ban work as many say it did? You know, because I argue that arms control is already, we already have it. This whole idea of I have the right to bear arms is limited. To me, it's just where do we draw the line? I'm curious your thought.
I mean, my thought is that, you know, I like to just think of Australia. I mean, you know, we ask that question, you know, does it work? Can a ban on assault rifles work? Well, you know, they had a mass shooting in 1996. They passed legislation 2 weeks later. They haven't had a mass shooting ever since. I mean, people's access to the weapon itself is the reason why people are able to take an AR-15 into a school and kill 17 kids in 3 minutes.
Yep.
Nothing else in terms of an argument trumps just the sheer availability of that weapon of war in civilian hands, and how that just doesn't make sense.
As I said earlier, I knew kids that, you know, if you would have put a, when I was a kid, if you would have put an AR-15 in their hands, they'd have shot up everything. And the reason that those shootings didn't happen is grandpa didn't have an arsenal. There wasn't an AR-15 within arm's reach.
Yeah. And I also think, like, to take a step back, if you sort of like think about this in terms of not just these mass shootings, but also just in terms of like a more broad national security, and when we talk about our, you know, Department of Homeland Security, and we talk about, you go back to 2009, and the report that came out about these weapons and about right-wing extremists and about the potential for an uptick in gun violence. And here we are, here it is 2018, it's almost 10 years to the date. Everything that that report laid out has come to fruition. And they were able to predict that. And so when you think about everything we talk about in terms of social unrest, and we talk about like racial divisions, and then when you couple that with people having access to guns, and you talk about militias and white supremacy and the Civil War, and, you know, like we've talked about, how close are we as a society to some of these issues that we deal with day to day boiling over into some actual form of armed insurrection, like people are always claiming they want to do, and that's why they have their guns.
Tree of Liberty.
And original intent, like you're saying. I mean, how far are we going to go until, you know, what they're actually saying, that they actually go out there and do it? How close are they to doing that?
Well, I can't tell you how many gun nuts have told me, sometimes we need to water the Tree of Liberty with the blood of tyrants.
Yeah.
And I go, have you looked in the mirror?
Right, and who do they think is a tyrant, right?
Let's start
tyrant
with you.
In the eye of the beholder.
we most certainly live in crazy times.
Yes, we do.
But the hope is, I'm watching these kids, as you pointed out, and the hope is that maybe they're the sane, rational ones that turn this country forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that is certainly an interesting parallel between this and Sandy Hook, you know, that these children are really old enough and aware enough to really feel like this is their time to speak out on this issue. And I'm so proud of them.
And social media savvy enough.
Oh, for sure. But you know, I think at the same time, it really is disheartening that they are not being met by adults, actual adults who are in office, who have the power to actually make a change. They have no will to actually do that. And that's just really unfortunate for them and our future as a country.
Well, hopefully somebody will step forward. Jane, I appreciate the time. Always great talking with you. Always appreciate the insight.
You too. Have a great week.
You as well. Thanks so much. Our good friend Propane Jane. Quick break. Right back. 1-888-520-RICK. 1-888-520-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. Yeah.
wants me to give my money to someone like you. But I do believe in what a crazy man can do.
Not right wing, just right. The Rick Smith Show.